ಗ್ರಾಹಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾದಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿನರದಸ್ ಅರ್ಥೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾನ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿ ಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿ ಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತ ಕುಹಗಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈಲವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾವತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರೈ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಕ್ಷಣ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಗಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಗಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿಹೇದವೇ ತಾವತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ಯಂ ಬ್ರವ್ರಜಂದಂ ಅನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಹ್ಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಾಜ್ಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಂ ಅನತೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀವಮದಿತಿದೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಃ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಲವೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃದಾನನಿಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಜಿ ವಿಜಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ನ ಕನಿಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ಕಾವಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀಣಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮದಿಸುಂದರಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಳಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲಾಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಗ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರದೋ ಮಮ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ರಾಧಿಯೈ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ
So
We are discussing this chapter, Dhyana Yogam, in Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, as a preparation for the Dhyana Yogam discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? Where Krishna instructs Uddhava about Dhyanam, meditation process. As you can see, Krishna's explanations on Dhyanam, meditation, is a lot different than the what is spoken in the what's at the moment understood in the meditation processes, what is advertised by the different institutes, organizations. Dhyanam, according to Krishna, meditation happens at a stage that when one's chittavritti has completely stopped, it's at that point Dhyanam happens. We will see when you study Krishna Leela, Krishna's pastimes, Sukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj, Dhyanam is not a process that has to be worked upon, it has to happen in a natural way, just like it has happened in the case of gopis. And gopis are the best example. Narada Bhakti Sutram says about that, Yatha Vraja Gopiganam, they are the devotees who have reached a very high perfection stage in the process of meditation of Krishna. So, we were discussing last Sunday the pastimes of Krishna, particularly the childhood pastimes, how that created the dhyanam in the gopi's mind, isn't it? How meditation started in the gopi's heart by Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes triggered the meditation in gopi's heart. Valsan munjan kochida samaye krosa sanjada hasaha Steyam swadvatti adha dadibada kalpidai steya yogaihi. Markan bhokshan vibhajadasi nati bhandam vinati dravyalabhe sagraha kubito ya upakroshyato kan. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find this verse, a famous verse in the childhood pastimes of Krishna. When Krishna went into the gopis' houses and the different activities, pastimes he performed there at gopis' house. Valsan munjan kochid asamaye. Asamaye means not the proper time. Krishna used to go with the cowherd boys into the gopis' house and let the calves all go loose. He will untie all the calves and let them go freely. Krosha sanjadaha saha. That at that point gopis used to get very disturbed about it and they used to get hold of Krishna and complain about him to Yashoda Devi. And when it was complained, Krishna did not take very serious note of it. He completely ignored them. So they used to get more angry when he didn't take notice of it. Steyam swadvati. Then what else he used to do? He used to go to the storage room or kitchen, wherever gopis have stored all the milk and the butter. He used to walk in there straight. And what he used to do? Steyam swadvati. Used to break the pots or steal. That was the activity. With the friends together, they used to steal everything. When they stole the milk and the butter, gopi used to get very upset with Krishna. Gopi used to ask Krishna, why don't you ask? We would have given you enough. Krishna says to the gopi, actually I am not a beggar, Krishna says. I don't ask, I just take what I want. Not only that, he says, when you steal and eat, it has got much better taste. Steyam swadvati. That is Krishna's explanation. Adha dadibada kalpidai steya yogaihi. And Steya Yogam started from that day onwards. That Steya Yogam, it is called, Sukadeva Goswami gives this specific name, Steya Yogam. Steya Yogam means stealing yogam. Like Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, a new yoga system. Krishna has started from that day, Steya Yogam. Dhadibada kalpidai Steya Yogaihi. Then after stealing, it's not that only Krishna ate. Markan bhokshan vibhajadi. Used to take it out and free distribution to everybody. The monkeys, the cats, everybody was given a share. Never ate alone, always distributed to everybody else. Markan bhokshyan vibhajadasadil. nati bhandam bhinati. And when not satisfied with all what he has got, then he used to go and break the pot from the bottom. With the stick, used to poke it and make a hole, and through which the milk used to come out and used to show his mouth and drink that. You must have seen this photo many places. Nati bhandam bhinati dravya labhe. That if he does not get what he wanted, dravya labhe sagraha kubito. If he did not get what he wanted, he gets upset. Krishna gets upset. While walking outside the house, sagraha kubito ya upakroshyatogan. Used to go and pinch the baby's bum and baby's face everywhere and make them cry, and then they used to walk out from there. So Sukadeva Goswami specifically mentions this pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and commentators have given a lot of thought into it. Why Krishna did this? I mentioned this also last Sunday, isn't it? That dravya labhe sagraha kupito ya upakroshyato kan. He wanted to make sure that the baby cry. And the only logic that all the great devotees have found is this. Their logic was this, that why have you come back to this world? I have let you out from here so many times. You didn't take the opportunity. You decided to come back here again. So in the same way, this pastime in Bhagavatam is to indicate to us that Krishna gets upset. Griha kupitaha. That means he gets angry with every house when there is no Krishna consciousness in that house. When there is no practice of bhakti, Krishna comes and looks, is this householder engaged in Krishna consciousness or not? If he is not engaged in Krishna consciousness, Krishna gets upset. That is where the problem starts. Krishna is looking for butter everywhere. What is that butter? The butter is that love of Krishna, which must be there in the heart of everyone. Krishna comes and steals that butter from the heart of a devotee. So the butter is the love of Krishna, and every devotee has to have a storage of that butter in the heart. When Krishna sees there is no butter stored for him, he gets upset. So whether there is bhakti, whether there is jnanam, or whether there is vairagyam, these are the three things, isn't it? Bhakti, knowledge, renunciation and devotion. If all these three things Krishna says, or whether there is chanting the holy name going on in that house, if these things are not there, Krishna comes and repeatedly checks it out, whether it's happening or not. If he doesn't get it, ya upakroshyato kan, he will make sure that the children will have problems. Children will get problems. So that is the way Krishna operates. That when there is no bhakti, when there is no practice of Krishna consciousness at home, when there is no chanting the holy name, when there is no studying Srimad Bhagavatam, when there is no following the principles of Krishna consciousness, Krishna gets upset. And that is what that pastime is all about. Ya upakroshyadogan. Krishna will make sure that there will be problems in the house. He will make sure that this will happen. That the children will go in a wrong direction, or Krishna will make sure that there are some problems in the house. So this is the way that these pastimes are spoken. So if you are too attached to the material body, what Krishna does? Krishna creates problems for the material body. Lot of problems for the material body. This way it will happen. So Krishna says, these are letters writing. Krishna is writing letters to us. Every time each of these things happen, we have to understand that Krishna is writing this letter to us. The point is, Krishna's point is this, that every time he says to us that when are you stop playing with this material life? Material life is nothing but playing with the toys. Like the children play with the toys, it's the same way. Our playing with material nature is like the children playing with the toys. Not realizing that when the child is playing with the toys, child does not know that he has to go to get educated, goes to school or get educated and has to work in the future to earn a living. All these issues are there. But the child who is busy in playing all the time does not understand the consequences of that. Similarly, Krishna is also telling us that it is enough that you have played with this material life. had played with it enough, with this material nature and the material world. You are never going to make it happy here, in this situation. It's never going to happen. So, Krishna's question is, when are you going to turn your head towards me? That's that question Krishna is raising there at that point. So, it is a warning. Prior to that, is all these problems. What comes in the house? Comes in the house. All types of distresses has only one intention. Krishna has only one intention. So, only through that warning, Krishna turns us towards self-realization, towards spiritual life. So, all these different types of things in this world, when are we going to stop playing with them? This is Krishna's questions. So, in that way, why not give up this? Surrender to me. That is Krishna's question. Surrender to me and engage in Krishna consciousness. Engage in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness somehow to come back to me. That is the only solution to the problems. So, in this situation, that Krishna's request to us is that at least find some time in life when to start chanting the holy name. Because most of the people have this argument, they don't have the time, isn't it, to chant the holy name. Krishna's point is, when are you going to find the time? When are you going to find the time? How long all these apologies and excuses that I am busy with this, I am busy with that? Why not give it up and come back to me? That is the question Krishna is asking here. So, with a peaceful situation, Krishna says, engage in Krishna conscious activities, in chanting the holy name, in dhyanam, bhagavadam, and all those things. Because Krishna is concerned when the king of death, Yamadharma Raja, when he comes there, asking us to come back with him, he will pull us out from this world. At that time, you won't be able to talk to him even, to tell him that if you could wait for me for a second, or even for a few days, nothing is going to happen. Any moment when he calls us, we have to go back. So, similarly, at that time, how you will ask for Krishna's help? For at that moment when the death is approaching, in a similar way, Krishna says there, this is a very, very, very serious topic. Very, very serious topic. If you think about it, you can see this also. That do you want the peace inside from Krishna consciousness, or do you want all this vanity in life? That I am this, I am that, I got this, I got that, I am this position, that position. So, actual Krishna's question is, do you want that peace? What Kavi Maharshi says, isn't it? Manye kutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujo vasanam atra nityam. Krishna says, Kavi Maharshi says in the Bhagavadam, that manye kutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujo vasanam atra nityam uddigna bhugdhe asadatma bhaval. Uddhikna bhukde asadatma bhaval vishwaitmana yatra nivartade bhim. That fear that has come to us of this material existence, the fear that everyone has in this world, Kavi Maharshi is saying there that it will not go easily. Why? Padambujo bhasanam atra nityam uddhikna bhukde asadatma bhaval vishwalpana yatra nivartate bhi. Uddhigna buddhe. Uddhigna buddhe means anxiety created within, inside. All the time anxiety about what will happen tomorrow, what will happen in the future, what will happen in the old age, when is death going to happen. That worry doesn't come. But all other worries of this world we carry. Not about the death. So, uddhigna buddhe asadalpa bhaval. Why? Because of our contact with asat. Asat means everything that is not true. All that is false. Asat, material world is false in that sense that it is asat. It has no permanent existence. It is temporary. Not only that, something what is constantly changing, parinamam, happens to this material world, isn't it? It's constantly changing. At no point you can say that it is going to be like this forever. It is constantly under this influence of time and under the influence of change. It happens. Not only that, the material body is constantly changing. Material body is constantly changing. The mind is changing. The intelligence is changing. And the false ego is also changing. So, the sum total of all these things, in other words, mind, intelligence, false ego, and the material gross body, plus the gross material nature, Kavi Maharshi, the sum of all these things, he calls it as asat. Asat. All that is asat. Uddhigna buddhe asadalpa bhaval vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. When one is freed from this asat, when one pulls back from this asat, vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. When he becomes fixed on the vishwalpana, the soul of the whole creation. The soul of the whole creation, vishwalpana, that is Krishna. Manye kudaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujopasanamatra nityam uddhigna buddhe asadalma bhaval vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this important instructions from Kavi Maharshi to King Nimi, which Krishna wanted Sri Narada Maharshi to speak to Vasudeva and Devaki, quoting this discussion between Kavi and Nimi. So, there you can see this, it is spoken like this, that Vishwalpana yatra nivartadebhi. We have to make that decision. Do I want to make this life a success, purposeful? In other words, make sure that I do not have to return back to this material world again? That decision one has to make right now. Or should I continue listening to the whole world opinion of this world and the society, trying to please them every moment? Is that what is required? So that decision, Krishna has left it to us. And this decision Krishna is saying here, right, first thing is to reflect on this very intensely and make that firm decision. Said, and after taking that decision, make their life successful. Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. That responsibility Krishna has left it to us. Not Krishna is not taking that responsibility. That responsibility is left with us. That is why in the beginning of this chapter, you have noticed that very important verse. Uddhared alpanalpanam alpanam avasadayed almanyev almano bandhu almaiva ripuralpanam. That uddhared alpanalpanam. Krishna says uddhared. Engage yourself and endeavor yourself to elevate yourself from this state of entanglement or this state of conditioning or in bondage. Uddhared alpanalpanam alpanam avasadayet almanyeva almahai bandhu almaiva ripuralpanam. For soul, the only friend is the mind which is absorbed in the material world. That mind has to be pulled back and absorbed in the soul. That is what Krishna says there. So Krishna says here, I am not going to do it for you. If you are thinking that I'll be doing it, you'll be waiting here forever. It is not going to happen. You can continue worshipping me. You can do all sorts of puja, deity worship, everything. But at the same time, I'm not going to do it because you have not made the decision yet whether to leave this place or not. So long as the decision is like that, and in that situation, Krishna says there is nothing I can do about it. So this Dhyana Yogam chapter, when we read this, we have to keep this in the mind. Krishna has left this responsibility to us. So, forcefully, I'm not going to do it, Krishna says. You have suffered enough, and you suffer a lot more now, before you come back to me. What it is that the distress in life is meant for purifying us in that sense, that only then we will realize the need to go back to get out of this material existence. Otherwise, we will never develop that desire to leave this world. So, therefore, it is important that distress has to come in life. Distress has to come in life. Just like when you are carrying a pot from in the kitchen, when you take out the pot, a clay pot or anything, if you put the hand underneath to hold it, if it is very hot, you will leave it straight away. Isn't it? That's a common experience. We all know that. As soon as the pot is hot, you pull the hand back straight away, if you touch it by mistake. Or, so, because it is like that, when you experience the heat from the pot, you pull the hand back. Similarly, Krishna is saying, when you get sufficient distress, you will pull back one day. You are not going to stay here forever. So therefore, some kicks are necessary. Some treatment is necessary at that time. So that's the point. Krishna says there that unless we come to that state where to keep the world in its place and give the importance to Krishna what he deserves in life, till we do that, Krishna says, it is not going to happen. To keep the world in its place, at the moment we have given too much importance to the world, a lot of importance to the world. That's why we are so busy with the world, isn't it? So when we make that decision, that this is how that demarcation or the dividing line between the service to the world and service to Krishna. When we decide that, that importance is in Krishna's service, not to this world, when that till that firm decision is taken, Krishna says here that if we do that, if we give the importance to Krishna's service and give less importance to the world, then the life can become perfect. And that is, Krishna calls it as yogasthiti. Krishna calls it as yogasthiti. Yogasthiti is that. This is what Krishna is talking about. We have misunderstanding about this. We are thinking that I will have a good life materially, everything should go very well. And then if I can chant 16 rounds every day, I am in the yoga state. No. Krishna consciousness is not based on the number of rounds you chant. Krishna consciousness is not based. It is completely based on this one thing and one thing alone. Surrender to Krishna. That is the principle. Bhakti is nothing but sharanagati. Jnanam is nothing but shraddha. This is the principle between jnanam and bhakti. Jnanam is shraddha, bhakti is sharanagati. It is from sharanagati or surrender that bhakti comes. Not by all the sadhana we execute. Sadhana we execute. So much misunderstanding about all these things, you can see still. You can see still. Devotees after 30, 40 years engage in 16 rounds chanting, then they start feeling that, oh, maybe that I'm not chanting enough rounds. That's why it's not happening. So now a new system has started. There is a lot of retreats happening now, as you can see this all the time. In all these retreats, the group of people come together and they chant for 64 rounds or 128 rounds, whatever number of rounds they want to chant. They are able, together they chant. And for a week or 10 days or whatever that is. And they book in a posh place where they could stay. First class prasadam is organized and other activities also. So in that way, they are still feeling the need that there is something they are not getting in spiritual life. Why is that? Reason is very simple. Sharanagati hasn't happened. Very principle of bhakti is sharanagati. You can chant as many rounds as you like, but if the surrender is not there, Krishna consciousness is not going to work. It will not work because that is the very underlying principle of bhakti. Underlying principle of bhakti. All the great acharyas, they gave importance to this. Without sharanagati, there is no bhakti. If you read through all the ancient literature on the bhakti process, you will see this point very strictly discussed. That sharanagati is the key to bhakti. So, here, he says here, that if you give importance to the world, and if you accept the world as more important, everything is going to end up in distress. At the end, it will turn into distress. If you give importance to Krishna, our life will become perfect also. That is also possible. This peace is concerned, shanti is concerned. It is not based on any of our effort. Because if you look into all these things, you can see one principle. That a person who is not feeling satisfaction or who is trying to find some peace in japa retreat or somewhere else, still there is something inside that has not surrendered. The surrender hasn't happened. Therefore, he is still thinking by his effort it is possible to get it. he still feels that he hasn't got it. That is why he is struggling hard. He is increasing it, isn't it? He knows he hasn't got it. If he has got it, then there is shanti there inside, isn't it? So shanti is not there. Tataparam shanti upaiti sakshal. Kavi Maharshi says later on. So, bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrdam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shanti mrichati. Shanti is the very nature of the soul. Self-realization is based on shanti. So when shanti is not there, any amount of increase in sadhana is not going to bring that shanti. This is the sadhana is only to eventually to wipe out that ego from inside. We have a lot of false ego inside. False ego has to be also understood properly. Why it's called false ego? Because it's not a real thing. That's why it's called false ego. Isn't it? So here, when we understand that this surrender to Krishna is the key to bhakti process or devotional process, so in that case, you may not have to go and stand as a beggar in front of anyone's house, or you don't have to run after somebody else saying that he is going to do it for me. Nobody is going to do anything for you. You can completely forget about all that things. Krishna's point is Udharet Alpana Alpanam Na Alpanam Avasadayal. There finishes the story. And misunderstood is that something somebody else will do it for us if I follow this process or that process. Almanyai Valmano Bandhu Almai Varibura Almanam. In there, Krishna is trying to tell us this point in the meaning of this Dhyana Yogam chapter. It is not to be our realization of the self or realization of the truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look very carefully, you will see one name that is used for Krishna very frequently. Have you noticed what that is? The word that is used very frequently while referring to Krishna is the word Krishna is addressed as Satyam, isn't it? Satyam is the word used. Satyam means truth, the truth, absolute truth. That Satyam is the word used in place as addressing Krishna. The first verse itself, Janmadhyasya yadonyaya idarada sartesh abhijnaswarad taine brahma hrida ya adhikavaye muhyandiyat suraya tejo varimridam yadhavinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha dhamna svena sada nirastakuhakam Satyam param dhimahi nirastakuhakam. That what does that nirastakuhakam? Dhamna svena sada nirastakuhakam. Always keeping all that is false separately, away from him. Nirastakuhakam satyam param dhimahi. That satyam, when you reject all that is false, which means this creation, this material body, the mind, intelligence, false ego, they are all asat. Asatyam, that is. That's why, if you reject all these things, what still remains? Dhamna svena sada nirastha kuhagam. Always rejecting all these things and then still shining behind that. Behind all these falsities, the truth that is shining behind that. Satyam param dhimahi. That satyam param dhimahi. I pay my obeisances to that truth. This is how Vedavyasa Maharshi begins Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can see the same thing at the very end of the Bhagavatam also. What does he say there? Kasmayena vibhasito yamadulo jnana pradiba puratudrubena ja naradaya munaye krishnaya tudrubina yogindraya sadatmanada padatha bhagavadradaya karunyadam tachruddham vimalam vishogamamadam satyam param dhimahi. So Srimad Bhagavatam began with Satyam Param Dhimahi. Srimad Bhagavatam finishes also with Satyam Param Dhimahi. There also you can see Krishna is addressed as Satyam Param Dhimahi because Krishna is the only truth. He is the only truth. That is the only Satyam. Everything else is what we have is experienced under the influence of Asatyam. It's under the influence of Asatyam. Asatyam is divided in different groups, Pradivasiyam, Pradivasika Satyam, and also Asatyam. These are all Asatyam actually. But Satyam is Krishna. Satyam is Krishna. That is why Krishna has every right to ask us this question. why not stop this game now and think about me seriously? This human body has been given to us for that purpose, isn't it? For engaging in self-realization. Instead, realizing this truth, Brahma and the demigods came, all other devadas came to see Krishna in the prison. If you remember, at the time of birth, Garbhastuti in the Bhagavadam. If you look there, you will see there, Satyavradam Satyaparamja Satyam Satyasya Yonim Nihitanja Satya Satyalmagam Tuam Sharanam Prabannaham. Satyam 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 Satyam. Everything Satyam. And that is Krishna. That is Satyam. So, that Satyam, Krishna says here, that complete satisfaction or peace will come to a person, Sarvado Bhadram, that completely auspicious and that peaceful state, that this is what Krishna has mentioned, that will come from Dhyanam, from Dhyanam. So, when will that state will happen? Krishna says in a simple terms, Krishna says, when the false ego inside is completely destroyed. When the false ego inside is completely destroyed. So, this false ego is in us. How? How is the false ego present in us? In two forms, Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam. Isn't it? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken about that. The doership and the enjoyership. Or, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva Rupam. So, inside, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. This is always inside us, all of us. And at the same time, when this is happening, while Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam is there, all the objects we come into contact with this world, whether it is other living beings or other objects, there is a natural interaction there because of Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam, what we know as Raga Dvesham develops at that point. If you read the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that in depth. That ragadvesham avasthetu vishayan indriyaischaran. Isn't it? So, vishayam, the sense objects, which is outside, with whom we develop this relationship, what is known as ragam and dvesham. Ragam is attachment to some object, or dvesham is aversion to some object. Aversion to some object. So, ragadvesham is coming from kartrutva bhoktrutvam. So, kartrutva bhoktrutvam is the cause of this ragadvesham. And as much as ragadvesham increases, if ragadvesham increases, kartrutva bhoktrutvam will also increase. This is how it is a vicious circle. This kartrutva bhoktrutvam creates ragadvesham. Ragadvesham creates more kartrutva bhoktrutvam. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam again creates more ragadvesham. Ragadvesham in turn creates more kartrutva bhoktrutvam. Ragadvesham means attachment and aversion. Kartrutva Bhoktrutva means I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. We are caught up in this very, very complex and vicious circle of karma. The circle of karma. That is why Krishna says here that when that false ego is manifesting in us in the form of this Kartrutva Bhoktrutva. That is why it is there in everybody, in everyone. So when that false ego is destroyed, Krishna says that situation, or in other words, complete destruction of that false ego is called bhakti. That is bhakti. We misunderstand bhakti. We think with all our false ego we can be a devotee as well, isn't it? That's what our understanding is. And therefore what do? I have to become a first class devotee. I have to be the topmost one in the world, isn't it? I must have the topmost position also as a devotee. So all these ideas are coming from this ignorance, that there is no understanding that bhakti means ahankara rahitam, that ahankaram has manifested or false ego in the form of kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, which in turn creates ragadvesham inside, which in turn creates more kartrutva bhoktrutvam, and in other words, the false ego grows. False ego grows inside. So this is that state Krishna says here. That bhakti, so many different names in the Bhagavadam it is used. Bhakti, Bhagavan Prapti, or self-realization, liberation. These are all different words for the same thing. For the same experience. Different titles are used, that's all it is. So, that state where false ego does not come up anymore inside, that state, satyasthiti, that is called satyasthiti or realized state. So, where kartratvam does not come up anymore. So, when will that happen? That is what Krishna is saying when Sharanagati happens. When Sharanagati happens. So, the whole, to realize that this whole creation is working. The whole creation is functioning. In other words, under the direction of a superior controller. Under the direction of a superior controller. And it is according to his will that all karmam is also happening in this world. Karmam happens through us. That's all. We are just only a media, via media for karmam to happen in this world. But complete control is in Krishna's hands. When we recognize that situation, that the very root cause of all the karmam in this world, one who is present inside us, and encouraging us to engage in a particular karma all the time and engage us in various activities outside in this world and engaging in all kinds of transactions or vyavaharam in this world, this great power, Krishna's this great energy continuously works. And when it is working like that, not recognizing this, on the other hand thinking that I am doing all these things, it's me who is working, it's me who is managing everything, and I have to do this, I have to do that, it has to be done like this, it has to be done like that, this didn't happen, that didn't happen, all these things is what is known as ahangaram. This is ahangaram. So ahangaram is sometimes very difficult to understand for most of the people, isn't it? They'll say, oh, I don't have any false ego, I am very humble, I am this, I am that. But the principle of this ahangaram is so subtle inside us, and because we are not so subtle in our understanding of things, what Krishna is saying to us is that without recognizing, that is why in two places, in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has mentioned this, isn't it? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyate. Why did he say that? Because it's ahangaram that is keeping us all going in this world, doing 100 and odd things, thinking that I'm responsible for all these things. If I wasn't there, what would have happened? And taking all responsibility on one's own and thinking that it's only without recognizing that there is a very higher force who is keeping this whole creation going, from whom everything has come, and in whom everything is living, and in whom everything will eventually get dissolved. That is Krishna. That is Krishna, is the soul of all the living entities. So it is in that soul all these things are happening, isn't it? Atmanev atmano bandhu. So in that Atma or soul, all these things are happening. Because our complete ignorance, we take it that it is me who is running this show. Who is running this show? So, without recognizing Krishna's role in this creation, without recognizing Krishna's role in running this world, we tend to take the responsibility on our head and start thinking that we are responsible for everything in this world. And when we start acting in that consciousness, that is false ego. There it itself, it is false ego. So, you can see how subtle the false ego is. And it's also easy to notice that the false ego is present in everyone. So, that false ego is present in us in different forms. So, because you can understand this very much. Or if you use your own common sense, samanya buddhi, or common sense if you use also, you can understand this. That while we were in the womb of the mother, while we were in the womb of the mother, except for Krishna's mercy, how did we come out to this world? Only because of Krishna's mercy, that have we had any control on our own life when we were in the womb of the mother? Have we had any control on ourselves when we were in the womb of the mother? We had no idea. Suddenly one morning we came out, one fine morning we were in this world. And similarly, all the activities that is happening in intelligence, in the material body also, and we start thinking that it's all happening due to my cleverness. I am so clever, therefore this is happening. And this understanding, not even able to look to oneself and able to accept that, without me, my interference in this body, things are happening, isn't it? Digestion is happening. Food is getting digested. When I eat the food, food is getting digested. And from the food, I receive the energy for my engaging my senses. The karma karmendriyam and jnanendriyam, both senses of knowledge and senses of action, both require this energy in the form of pranan. Pranan comes from this food that we eat. Who does this for us? Are we doing it with our own full consciousness of what's happening? We are only concerned only one thing while eating, what is the best for the tongue. That's only consideration while eating. And then you will say, oh, sharira vidya jal, gone, finished. So this is our understanding of Krishna, isn't it? So when we are eating food in that way, we do not take into account that who is behind it. When the food goes in, from that food, that energy for the pranan, for the body to function. And after the pranan has come, that circulation of the blood inside, who is keeping that function going? Who is keeping the function of breathing going inside without being noticed by all this? But still, false ego inside is telling us, oh, I am responsible for everything. I have to look after myself. We say that, isn't it? I have to look. What can you look after yourself? When suddenly, when Krishna kicks from one side, all looking after is over. Everything is finished in 1 second. And then you lie there waiting for the 999. So this is our situation. That is why Krishna is saying here that this false ego in a person, it is not easy to get rid of. It is so deep rooted in all of us. Only there could be some difference in the degrees, but it's there. But it is in everyone. So that is why. And this false ego, Krishna says here that whatever that has happened, that it is coming from ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance. It is the product of the ignorance in us that is coming in the form of this false ego. Ultimately, what have we done? That this ignorance is in us develops so strongly, it has come on the way in our surrender to Krishna. This is what is stopping us in our surrender to Krishna. In other words, what stops their sharanagati away and creates this faith in our karma, that is called false ego. The thing that keeps sharanagati away, surrendering to Krishna away from us and creating a lot of faith in our power of karma is this false ego. That's what the false ego is doing to us. In Shastram, this is called Kriya Brahmam. Kriya Brahmam it is called. Dravya jnana kriya brahmaham. In the Bhagavatam you can see these three things mentioned. The brahmam in a person. Dravya jnana kriya brahmam. The kriya brahmam is this. That, what is that kriya brahmam? Kriya brahmam is this. That even though the reality we know how we are going on in this world with this body, mind, intelligence and senses, and how every moment, only by Krishna's help and Krishna's arrangement, that we are able to survive in this world. We know this very well. When we look into your own body, you can notice this. You can also notice this at the time when we were in the womb of the mother. Nobody could care for us, isn't it? Prasutye sutima ruda. In the Bhagavadam, that is how Kapila Vasudev says about us. When we come out of the mother's womb, one day we say to Krishna, we don't want to go out, because while in that state inside the womb, suddenly we remember about some of our past lifetimes, what we have led, kind of things what we have done, different bodies we have gone through, all this memory will come back. So we will say to Krishna that please don't send me out again, I'll stay here. So Krishna says, that's not possible. That will not work. I have given you a lot of chance before. So the jandu is called jandu at that time, inside the womb basin. So jandu says to Krishna that I have gone there, but as soon as I go out, Maya captures me. I lose my connection with you. That's what Maya means, isn't it? I lose my connection with you. So Krishna asks us at that time, how many times have you promised me this before? Every time you promise me, and then you tell me now that Jandu says to Krishna at that time, I will never forget you again. But as soon as you come out, first thing what we do is we forget him. Isn't it? So therefore, Krishna, when the Jandu, he says to Krishna, if I go out now from here, I'll forget you. Krishna says, that is not possible. You remember me, that is your duty, you have to remember me. So when you don't listen to it, Krishna says, get out from here. And that is, Krishna's agent comes. Who is that agent? Sudhi Maruta, it's called. Prasava Vayu, in other words, it is called. That air inside the mother's womb, that get rid of us from there. You have stayed here 9 months, 10 months, 6 months, whatever time was allotted. Now you get out from here. So, why does he, Krishna does that? Because that poor mother has gone to Krishna one day and told Krishna that I am pregnant. But somehow or the other, if this delivery happens properly, without any trouble for me, I will come and surrender, take your shelter. She is more surrendered than you. So because she is surrendered, I have to protect her. And you can't make this as your permanent residence. So that's when Krishna says, Prasutyai Sudhimaruda. Sudhimaruda comes and kicks us out from that womb. And interestingly, there Kapila Vasudeva says that he does not come out in the normal way. Normal way, the leg should come out first, isn't it? But what comes out first? The head comes out first. So therefore he says, Vibaridam, Vibaridam, opposite way, he comes out first. And from that day onwards, everything is round and round and round going on from that day. So it is all mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam only to make us aware. Why this is all discussed in the Bhagavatam? To tell us that we are in a very dangerous situation here in this world. And after that, little by little, we grow, we change the body, childhood, boyhood, youthhood. By the time youthhood, I am the monarch of all I survey in this. By then, you reach that state, perfection in life, perfection in life. So, because that is what is called ajnanam. Ajnanam is this thing. And in the Bhagavatam, Drivyajnana Kriya Brahmam, it is mentioned like that. You will notice one thing, that this Kriya Brahmam is only in the human species. It's not there in the animal species. Have you noticed? Animals doesn't have this Kriya Brahmam. That what we experience, that Kriya Brahmam, that I am the doer. Animal will come, kill another animal for his food, that's all. But he doesn't walk around telling, I killed that animal. The lion doesn't walk around in the forest telling that I killed so many deers or any other tiger or any, have you noticed any? No, they get their food, they eat, satisfied and slept. So who is more advanced? Question we have to ask, isn't it? Dravyajnana Kriya Brahmam. That Kriya Brahmam is so powerful that we have identified with, I am the doer. I am the doer. And if you analyze it in depth, you can see it is such a false thing. This I am the doer. He is so deeply absorbed in that. That is why this ajnanam has caught us very strongly. And what does it create? It creates the worst thing to happen is karma vasana from that. The vasana that has been created from that. What work you are doing is not important. What is happening is not important. What you are doing is more important. And that is creates this bondage. That creates the bondage. What work is doing, what the kind of activity what you are doing is not what causes the bondage. It's not what causes the bondage. But who is doing it? That is what is causing the bondage. You see? Any activity, any karma performed in this world, it is not the activity that is binding us. But it is a person inside who is thinking that I am doing it. That is what is causing the bondage. So this has to be understood very clearly, because you see, in the childhood you grow up and turn into boyhood, isn't it? A little child turns into boy or a girl as he grows up. So from that change, what's happening, that happens in a natural way, isn't it? You are not doing it. Whether you like it or not, it will happen. From childhood to boyhood. So it is a change that's happening in the body. A change that's happening in the body. Similarly, from boyhood to youthhood also, a change is happening. And there was no effort needed in that direction. You didn't have to put any effort for that. So to change from childhood to boyhood, there was no effort required. It happens in a natural way. It happens, isn't it? So you will notice here, although action has happened, that you have changed from childhood to boyhood, there was no effort involved. Effort was not involved in that. It has happened without any effort, isn't it? You are eating food, but in course of time, the body grew and the body changes in the body happened, and it got the next change to the body. So you can notice one thing here. When you put your effort into something, that is when it becomes a cause of bondage, isn't it? Only when you put your effort into it, it becomes a cause of bondage here. In other words, parinamam means the transformation in this world happens in a natural way. Everything related to yourself, if you look at it, you were born without your effort. It happened. You took birth in this world. You change your body so many times, from childhood to boyhood to youthhood to old age and death. All this has happened in you in a natural process. It has happened. Only those activities where you took the initiative and got involved in that, that's the only thing what has created karma vasana in you. The taking birth did not create any karma vasana. Changing from childhood to boyhood did not create any karma vasana inside. That all happened very smoothly inside. Only that action, that karmam that has happened with your individual involvement in that, where ahankaram was playing a role in there, that is the one what causes the bondage. Or in other words, karma vasana comes from that. So that is why in Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra this important point while discussing the about this philosophy, that Ramachandra has been very specifically told by Vasishtha that it is like this. How does this ahankaram develops? He says, the huge tree stands in the forest. At the bottom of the tree, there is a small amount of fire. Somehow a spark has come and fallen there from the forest fire. You will notice in due course of time that the small fork at the boot of the tree, at the root of the tree, it starts building up there because of favorable condition. Wood is there to burn and the air is there, and this spark immediately catches onto the wood. And in a certain period of time, the whole tree catches fire and it burns. Similarly, this vasana also, what it does to us is, small vasana is created inside, that's enough. And from that day onwards, that vasana will start working. You don't have to do anything. Vasana will start working and vasana will keep growing one after the other. And as much as the vasana increases in us, the bandham or bondage also increases. Kartrutva boktrutvam will increase and bondage will also increase. That is why ahankara vashad apad, ahankara vashad iha, na ahankaran paroripu. Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, ahankara vashad, ahankaram is behind all these things. There is no other enemy whom I know worse than this false ego, he says. And he say, Ramachandra says there, at that point in Yoga Vasishtham, he says, I have found my enemy, who it is. And he describes this as this false ego. So ahankaram or false ego is different than pride. Is different than the pride. Ahankaram, everybody has. If we have distress in this world, it means we have ahankaram. False ego is inside. That is the proof for that. People always say that I am in great distress. Mainly the answer for that is there is false ego inside. There is false ego inside. Just like in the Ayurvedam, they analyze all the problems to three things, isn't it? Air, bile and mucus, they say. Vatam, pitam, kapham. These three things are mentioned as the cause of all the problems, imbalances in the mind, in the body. And Ayurvedam attribute to that, to this. So similarly, in Bhagavadam, the whole thing is attributed to only one thing. That is ahankaram. False ego is the key behind it. Bhagavadam says that. Bhagavadam says that the false ego is the only cause of this disease, what we have inside us. And in the form of that false ego, it stays inside and creates successive activities of karma varambara inside us. And samsara vyadhi, that means this disease of material existence, in the form of ragam and dvesham, it creates. And with the result of that, the peace goes. Shandi goes away. And so many different kinds of ragadvesham has developed inside. So, how to destroy this false ego? That's a question everybody asks, isn't it? How to destroy this false ego? So then the answer will come, maybe there is a seminar, why not start for destroying the false ego? There's so many other seminars going on, isn't it? Why not one more? So, how to destroy the false ego? But when that question comes, the problem is that because it's a false ego, it has no real existence. It has no real existence. If it was something real, you could have operated it and taken it out from inside. Because it's not real, and there is no point in discussing about it anymore, because it doesn't have any real existence, nor you can say it does not exist. It is one of those things. It does exist, at the same time it does not exist. Can you understand that? What that means? It exists, but at the same time it does not exist. Because if you look for it, where is it? You won't find it. Where it is. But it does exist. So this ahankaram or false ego, because of that, we have a lot of faith that it is there. That's why we are able to function like this. Kartratva, bhoktratva, ragadvesham, all that is coming from that. Where does it come from? And because we believe that it exists. That's why. We believe that it exists. Because we believe its existence, in other words, it is in that false ego all our belief is, not in the real self. We will tell others, oh, I'm not this body, I'm not this body. But who is saying this? This false ego is saying, I'm not this body. That's the funniest thing. When the false ego is saying to other, that I'm not this body. And because it is spoken in that way, the understanding of spiritual life and self-realization is also in the same way. That just like a ghost, how did we give life to the ghost? Because we have faith in the ghost, isn't it? Because we have the faith in the ghost. But those things which you are not sure about, in such things, you are supposed to have faith. You are supposed to have faith, isn't it? For example, many things where you may say like this, I believe, or I don't believe in that. We will say like that. As far as the ghost is concerned. But have you noticed one thing? As far as Krishna is concerned, faith is not the law. Faith is not what is required. It's not the faith that is matters. In all the Puranas, if you look, you won't see this word Vishwasam. Vishwasam means faith. Or belief, you can say. Belief. Belief word you won't find. Belief word in Sanskrit, you call it as Vishwasam. That Vishwas word you won't find in any of the Puranas. The reason being, there is only one word there, that is Bhakti. Bhakti is the word used in Puranas, not Vishwasam. Because as far as Vedavyasa Maharshi is concerned, on something where you are not sure that it exists or it doesn't exist, only in there you have to apply this belief, or the word belief or faith. Faith or belief, you have to apply on something where you are not sure about it, whether I exist or don't exist. Krishna is not something for to be subjected to faith or belief. It is neither a subject for faith nor it's a subject for belief. Because as far as the Shastram is concerned, our relationship with Krishna is only one thing. What is that? Bhakti. Bhakti is the connection within the devotee, between the bhakti means everyone is a has to have this bhakti towards Krishna. That is the relationship between Krishna and the devotee. But due to false ego inside, I have separated from Krishna. Bhakti has been lost in that process. I've been separated from Krishna and bhakti has lost in that process and started working on the understanding that I am this false ego. I have all these responsibilities in this world and this is all my duty. I am responsible. If I don't do it, who else will do it? If this consciousness has grown inside so strongly that now we have to ask this question, do you believe in Krishna or not? It has come to that state now. Why? The false ego has grown so high, so strongly inside, the question has come up like this now. Actually, in Puranam, in Bhagavatam or anywhere you can look, you will see, won't see this word, Vishwasam, or faith, or belief. That question doesn't arise. There's only one relationship, Bhakti. Bhakti is the relationship between Krishna and us. Devotees, we are devotees, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's servants. So, in that sense, there is only Bhakti. But what has happened now? Just like the ghost, where we have to check whether it does exist or not. People have told us so many stories about the ghosts, isn't it? Sherlock Holmes and all other so many stories people read related to this ghost business. So if you believe, you are still not sure about it, exist or don't exist. The ghost and the post story in the Bhagavatam, you know. That you're walking through the street in the middle of the night, there is some moonshine, but it's not very, there's not sufficient light. You are suddenly seeing a post somewhere. And because there wasn't sufficient light, you felt that there is someone standing there. You looked at that and you thought it's a ghost standing there. A misunderstanding has come, a bhramam has happened inside. And you started thinking it's a ghost standing there. What did you do? Immediately got frightened. And you're fully convinced that it is a ghost standing there. And somewhere in some story in Sherlock Holmes or somewhere you have read, ghosts are normally wear white clothes and they cover all their whole body and standing there. So he looked again, he saw that it looks white. Maybe the post was painted white. White color was painted. So immediately he took it there. It is him only. There's no doubt about it. We're completely convinced about that. So because you couldn't do anything, you took a stone and threw it at it. But because you were frightened and you were throwing, it didn't hit the post. It was going in all other directions. It wouldn't hit. But suddenly, one of the stone went and hit that post. And it created a big noise. At that time you realized, suddenly you realized that it was not a ghost, it was only a post. And then you realized, there was an electric post there before. The electricity department has left that post and gone away. Or a telephone post, whatever it was. So, how that Brahman inside has created that feeling for a moment that you are subjected to. In the same way, ghost is like that. Ghost is like that. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it. There's a doubt there still. But Krishna is concerned. God is concerned. It is not for a subject for belief or faith. Often we say, what faith are you? Hindu, Christian, Muslim. All these are faiths, isn't it? And some people say that I believe in this, I believe in Krishna. I believe. Whether you believe or you don't believe, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. This is Krishna's mercy to us. Then Krishna's mercy to us. See, for example, atheists, they try to prove God doesn't exist. Isn't it? Atheists are trying to prove God doesn't exist. But they are also talking about God. So Krishna is saying that whether you are believing me or whether you are atheist, both are equally says. Because both of you are talking about me at the end. This is Krishna's logic. Krishna's mind goes like that. Krishna's thinks like that. Krishna is saying to atheists, you know these people called Yuktivadis. The people who want logic in everything, they only believe with logic. You have to prove to them that God exists. Then only then they will accept it. Otherwise, they believe in science more. A lot of scientists are also like that, isn't it? They believe like that. They believe that unless you prove to us God exists, and they are always working very hard to prove to us that God doesn't exist. Isn't it? Like we are trying to tell the world that God does exist. We take support from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and tell everyone that Krishna exists. Proof is there. And they are trying to prove to us that God doesn't exist. There is no proof. They are saying that, and they will find new and new reasoning and logic behind it. But for Krishna, whether it is a scientist or one who is trying to prove God exists are the same. Why? Because both of us are talking about Him only. Isn't it? The scientist is also talking about Him. Devotees are also talking about Him. So Krishna says that person who has been talking about me, one day he will understand whether I am existing or not. Mrityu sarvaharas chaham. When that death comes and kicks in the face, at that time he will realize whether I exist or not. Up to that time, I may not exist for him. But at that point, I will exist for him. And that it's only a question of time. And Krishna is happy that because he is in the process of proving that God doesn't exist, he has to work very hard on that. And Krishna is happy about that he is also meditating about me. That is Krishna's logic. Krishna finds happiness that when a scientist is trying to prove that he doesn't exist, he feels happiness about that. Because he's thinking about me, Krishna says. He's not thinking anything, some abstract thing. He's thinking about me. Krishna says, he's only trying to prove that I don't exist. So that is the logic behind it. So, bhakti is the only word in the Shastram. There is no other word. Our relationship with Krishna is bhakti. Our relationship with Krishna is bhakti. So, when will that go away? When do we lose that bhakti? When we realize that so many other things exist. So many other things exist. That is why when Brahma saw Krishna in the prison, first time he said, Satyasya satyam nihitamya satye satyatmadam tvam sharanam prabannaha. A continuous shower of words of satyam on Krishna. Continuous shower. We will discuss that word sometime later because that is one of the most fascinating verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been analyzed in such depth. To understand each satyam in that verse is so important, and that establishes Krishna's reality of Krishna. So, anyway, and when we understand that it is only due to Krishna's desire, everything is happening in the creation. It is Krishna behind it. Krishna is the controller. Krishna is the operator, and we are the machines to be operated by Krishna. It is Krishna's desire that is what is happening. And I have no role in this, any of these things. When that firm understanding comes very firmly, deeply rooted inside, and when one understands and realizes and surrenders his body, mind, intelligence, everything, when one surrenders to Krishna, that is called Bhagavata Dharma. So you see Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is different from Vaidika Dharma, isn't it? Vaidika Dharma, if you study, it has got a very complex things. Vaidika Dharma associated with Varnashrama Dharma, all that, it's a very complex thing. But if you look into Bhagavata Dharma, what Krishna is talking about is this. That is why in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you look, it is at the very end that this Bhagavata Dharma was discussed in detail, isn't it? When through the Navayogis, this Bhagavata Dharma was discussed. And there he said, Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Buddhyatmanava Pragrade Sobhavat Karodiyadyal Sagalam Parasmai Narayanayedi Samarpayami. This is the precise definition of Bhagavata Dharma. Precise definition. What is that? Kayena Vaja Manasendriyerva. With the material body, gross body, by words, by the mind, by the senses, or by the intelligence, or whatever actions we are performing, Pragrade Sobhaval, according to our nature. Sobhava means the nature in us. It is based on the Svabhavam, Varnam, Varnashramam has come, isn't it? Varnam has come from based on the Svabhavam. So if the Svabhavam is dictating from inside to execute various things in this world, karma, whatever that karma is happening through me, that is how that verse is saying. Karodi yadyal sagalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayetan. That everything that is happening in that way through me, that I am doing with my mind, body, intelligence and senses, whatever that is engaged, all that be offered to Krishna. All that be offered to Krishna. So when it is offered like that, Krishna says, if everything is surrendered to Krishna in that way, that is called Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam. And once that happened, Krishna says, you can remain in this world totally free and completely liberated state. So that surrender is a very high state. It is not a normal, easy state, surrendering that. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about that surrender. That is the reason. Because it is the last thing that can happen at the very end of one's spiritual life. Kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakriti svabhaval karodi yadyal sagalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayetat. That is like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how that verse is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam. In the same way in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna's words on the surrender is at the very end, isn't it? Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Why is it spoken at the very end? And we say, oh, that's the only thing we have to do. Everything else is very, oh, yeah. It's very simple. But normally, we have to know that that is not a simple thing. That is the most difficult thing, that surrender. Surrender is the most difficult thing. It doesn't matter whether you're in the organization, outside the organization, at home or in the office. In all circumstances, all the time, to be surrendered to Krishna. And to execute work in this world, continue to act in this world without that false ego inside and fully surrendered to Krishna and offering everything to Krishna is not an easy thing. That will only happen at the very end of it. So that is why when the false ego gets completely destroyed, so when that happens, immediately you are released from this world, which is, before that happens, our intelligence has to come to a mature state, pakvam. A pakva sthiti it's called. It has to come to a state of maturity. It has to come to a state of maturity. Because in order to do that, first of all, we have to recognize the difficulties inside ourselves. So, when will that false ego will leave us? When will that leave us? When you come to know that you cannot do it yourself. You cannot do it yourself. You'll come to know that one day. This talking with the lips has no meaning. When the false ego leaves a person, when will that happen? That will only happen after a lot of turmoil in this world. That will not happen very easily. That is why you will come to understand one day you cannot do it. You will come to understand one day you cannot do it. So that will not happen very easily. That's why we may say with our mouth, oh, what can I do? I can't. Everything is happening by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is doing everything. I'm just an instrument. All this you can say with the lips. But as soon as you turn back, then something else happens, you immediately forget all these things, you'll go after the karma, what you have to do. So that is how strange this false ego is, how it operates is that in that way. So here, just like children are very funny that way, there is a saying that mothers will tell the children, you have to work hard and you have to you have to surrender to Krishna also. So the child will say that, how much I have to surrender to Krishna? So the mother will say to the child, you study hard, that's your 50%. And Krishna will help you if you study, that is Krishna's 50%. In the exam results come, the mothers will tell the children like that. So 50% is yours, 50% is Krishna's. Some smart child told the mother, I'm happy if I get Krishna's 50%. Because 50% is not required for getting through the exam, 30 or 40%, whatever that is. So if I just get that 50%, that's enough, he said. So similarly, we can also say this in this world, that I have no false ego, everything Krishna is doing. But when that realization hasn't happened inside, Krishna, we keep on saying this, but till that false ego totally disappears from inside, so only when that false ego totally disappears from inside, Krishna says here, that Krishna comes and swallows us. The jiva gets swallowed by Krishna. Krishna takes us away from the material existence once for all. We lose our identity as a conditioned soul and we come to the platform of liberated state at that time. So, therefore, in order to do that, Krishna does a favor to us. How is that favor comes from Krishna? Because Krishna knows that this false ego is the main problem inside. And unless this false ego goes away, this surrender won't happen. Surrender will not happen. You can say so many things. I have executed so many sadhana and so much deity worship. I have read Srimad Bhagavatam so much. Everything, memorized all the verses. I did this service, that service. So many things you can say. But at the end, Krishna says that you are not ready for it. That maturity hasn't happened inside. That's why it says, Ishasya kripaya dukham agamishyadi dehinam bhogeshu viradhim dhadum tasmal dukham na garhayet. Tasmal dukham na garhayet. It says, Ishasya kripaya dukham. When distress is coming in life, when any distress is coming in life, we have to know that is Krishna's mercy. That's the way one has to see it. That is the way one has to see it. Whereas constantly we are saying to Krishna, don't give me any distress. I can't handle it. So Krishna sees and says that this person does not want it. Okay, he wants to stay here. That's why he is telling me, don't give me any distress. We will say, material world is like this, this, that and the other. But we don't want to leave the material world. We want to stay very much in the material world. So therefore it says here, Ishasya kripaya dukham agamishyadi dehinam. For embodied living beings, this distress comes to them only for this reason. What is that? Bhogeshu viradhim dadhum. That somehow or the other, virakti or detachment to sense enjoyment or to enjoying this body must happen to him. Tasmat, therefore, dukham na garhayet. One should not condemn when distress comes. When distress comes, what do? We go to Krishna and says, I have been chanting all around and I have done so much for you and why you are doing this to me? This is everyday music, isn't it? Everyday music is this. That every one of us do this. But Shastram is telling us, Tasma dukham na garhayet. Ishasya kripaya dukham. It is only by Krishna's mercy that dukham comes. That dukham comes in life. And agamishyadi dehinam, for all those embodied living beings, they get this dukkham only when Krishna's mercy comes. If you take to any great devotee's life, you will see this. This one thing that they have gone through in their life at some stage or the other, they had to go through extreme distress in their life. Personalities, forget in Sri Prabhupada's case, you all know what all happened. And same thing with devotees, Tukaram's life, Namdev's life, they all were tested by Krishna to such degree, such level, before they were taken out from this world. That's the way it works. Only by Krishna's causeless mercy we get this distress. That is the reality. Only by Krishna's causeless mercy it happens. So, when distress comes, what the distress do? Distress sets fires to the false ego. And the false ego start burning at that time. Isn't it? When the distress comes, it sets fire to the false ego and it starts burning. One person who was thinking he was very clever and very capable and very competent, he realizes that he cannot do anything at that time. And that is the point when false ego goes away from him. Up to that point, he was thinking that I can manage this, I can do that, I can I can handle it. All these things will leave him. It is only for this to tell us this this aspect of the Krishna consciousness that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th canto, that Gajendra Moksham story was spoken. Gajendra Moksham story was spoken. Sudeva Goswami spoke about this through the elephant, that's all. But the message is this. The message is very clear. That the then when that Gajendra's life, if you will see, when you look at that Gajendra's life, you will see that he was a very powerful elephant, wasn't he? Very powerful elephant. Not an ordinary elephant. And this is the nature of Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami likes it like that. When we say something, we will talk about some individuals, isn't it? But when Sudeva Goswami says, he will bring some personality like this, an elephant or a tiger or something. And like that, instead of speaking directly about them, that is our normal nature. And if we want to someone else to understand, we will want to convey some message to someone, we will quote somebody else that and give the impression to him what we are referring to. What we are referring to, the person will understand. We want others to understand it, and our nature is to talk about directly referring to someone. We will indirectly mention about somebody else, isn't it? So, so here we will see here that when we mention like that about somebody, we expect the other person to understand that. We want to get the message through to him, isn't it? Often when we talk about that, we talk about in a very subtle way. We'll get this message through them. Similarly, Sudeva Goswami also here in the Shukha Brahma Srinda Bhagavatam also says the same thing, that a person whose sadhana is very strong, but who has a lot of false ego inside that person, in order to tell us his situation, that is why he is saying this story through that elephant story, elephant's incident. Indradyumna, the king, wasn't it? Indradyumna was a devotee. He was not an ordinary person. He was a great devotee. Indradyumna Pandya Gandhadi Raja. That Pandyadesham, he was the king there, Indradyumna. So this Indradyumna, he was a devotee. And he had a strong faith in his spiritual commitments. He, nishtha, steadiness in all that. But due to a small mistake he committed towards Agastya Maharshi, he had to accept the body of the elephant. But even when he got that body of the elephant, that Kshatriya quality as Indradyumna has not left him. It has followed him. Even among the elephants, he was not an ordinary elephant, he was a king there also. Even in the elephant, although he was an elephant, among the elephants he was a king there. Because he was a king in the previous life. So that Kshatriya nature has followed him. Kshatriya Vasana has followed him into that state and caught hold of him in that way. Caught him in that way. So sadhana was going on previous life. Spiritual activities he has performed, all his sadhana. To point out to us, to think that if you put all your faith in sadhana and think that sadhana is going to get you there, you can forget it. It's not going to happen. Main enemy is something different than that inside. What is that? Their false ego. False ego is not leaving. It is still giving us a lot of confidence in us, thinking that I can do it. I will manage 64, no problem. 10 days or 6 years, I'll chant 64 rounds. I will do it. That I inside is very strong. I is dictating everything. So, from here, you can see Gajendra, because of the sadhana in the previous life, Gajendra had this ego going simultaneously with the sadhana. Sadhana was going in one track and the false ego was also going in the another track simultaneously. It was then that Krishna decided, in order to mature him, to get him out of this faith, what he had in his strength and in his sadhana, the only way was to give him distress. To give him distress. That story you know in the 8th canto, who the Gandharva had to accept this body, Devala Maharshi's curse and all. He had came as a crocodile and caught hold of our Gajendra's feet. Isn't it? Caught hold of Gajendra's feet. And Gajendra could not escape. At to that point, Gajendra thought, I am a powerful person. He was thinking like that. I am so powerful. He had absolute faith in all his friends and the family members who were around him. Sahasra samama sada, Bhagavatam says, 1,000 years he was fighting with this crocodile in the water. See, Sukadeva Goswami is observing all these things. He says that this incident with Agastya Maharshi and Indradyumna, that story, later on through Gajendra, the whole story Sukadeva Goswami is telling us only for this purpose, to prove it to us that it's not through your sadhana that you are getting out from this world. We misunderstand these things. We think that through sadhana I will escape. I will chant a lot more and I'll do a lot. No, when the ahangaram goes away inside, from inside, that is when we get that release note. And that ahangaram won't happen in the first day one. Even if you have chanted 30 years, it may not happen. You have chanted mechanically 16 rounds for 30 years. What has happened at the end? Then you are thinking that, is there something wrong I am doing somewhere? So then we start inquiry. Then you find in the internet there is a thing called japa retreat going on somewhere. Let me join that then. So I try that. They're only not charging very much, something like $6,000 or something. No, it's not very, very expensive. Somebody has written a report about that. He says, it's not so expensive. The facilities were so good, it was worth the money, he says. It's only $6,000 for a week or so. And in one of the best places, we had the japa retreat. And chanted 64 rounds. And still doubt, has it really worked? Still it is doubting, has it really worked? Why? Why doubt is coming? Because it hasn't worked, that's a fact. It won't work. Why? Because we have forgotten where the problem is. Problem is that you can chant and chant and chant, but at the same time, inside this thing called false ego, which Krishna is talking about, that is why bhakti means sharanagati, nothing else. It is from sharanagati begins everything. All our bhakti devotional activities, it's all fine. You can video it, you can photograph it, you can magazine, put it in the magazine, YouTube or whatever tube you got, you can put it everywhere. And doesn't matter. That is not going to work. What will work at the end, Krishna is saying here, that this sharanagati happens, and for that you have to pray to Krishna to give you that state of consciousness. And that can only happen, Krishna says, that when this surrender happens, only when distress comes. Who found out this? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first personality, Kunti Devi, found this out. That is why Kunti Devi is so intelligent. What we could not find out, Kunti Devi found out. An ordinary person, of course she was a queen, but she was able to find this out without the help of all retreats and all other kinds of things. She found out this very fundamental principle of bhakti. What is that? Surrender. Sharanagati of Krishna. Sharanagati to Krishna. In every Vaishnava Sampradaya, this is important. Particularly in Ramanuja Sampradaya, this is the first thing to start with. In the tradition is Sharanagati. Sharanagati is the first thing. But when Sharanagati has not happened, bhakti cannot happen. Bhakti will not happen. So, key to bhakti is Sharanagati, as it is mentioned. So, Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna, isn't it? Kunti Devi spoke to Krishna, give me all the time distress. Give it to me as much as possible, because if you keep on giving it to me, my ego will go away. It will set fire to my ego, and that ego will start burning, and I will surrender to you. He says to Krishna, isn't it? So, there, Kunti Stuti is important. You see, all the Stuti, glorifications in the Bhagavadam, is to present the truth for us. Katha is there, story is there. That's there. Through Katha, we become mature to understand the philosophy in the Stuti, in the glorifications. So at some stage, after hearing this, hearing the katha, at some stage when that purification happens and realizes the importance of Krishna, the stuti will start, the glorifications in the Bhagavatam will start making sense to us. Will make sense to us. So many stuti, so many glorifications in the Bhagavatam. And all of them are so important because that is what eventually leads us to Sharanagati. Eventually leads us to Sharanagati. So therefore, it is mentioned there, Ishasya kripaya dukham agamishyati dehinam bhogeshu viradim dhatum tasma dukham nagrahayet. So here, so the elephant by nature itself is very powerful. Very powerful. Not only that, he was the leader. And he had so much faith in him that according to the strength of the false ego in ourselves, accordingly we will have the Brahmam also. The Brahmam, Kriya Brahmam, or Dravya Brahmam, or Jnana Brahmam. Dravya Jnana Kriya Brahmam. In the Saptama Skandam, if you look in the Prahlada story, Narada Maharshi is instructing this. Dravya Jnana Kriya Brahmam. Three things he has spoken about then. So, as long as this ahankaram is inside, or false ego is inside, one will think, I can handle this. I can do this. And I can do anything. This is called Brahmam. That comes from that. So, it is in that state that when Gajendra was in that state of consciousness, it was then that the crocodile went and caught its feet. Isn't it? Crocodile went and caught its feet. Pulled and pulled and pulled. Never worked. Never worked. So, in the Bhagavatam you will see there, it mentions that at that point in time, the crocodile was acquiring strength because of all the blood and the flesh from the feet of the elephant. That was the food for the crocodile. Crocodile was get stronger. On the other hand, the elephant was losing its strength. As much blood it was losing, and the flesh was it going away from its body, it was losing its strength. But for 1,000 years they pulled this way, that way, this way, that way. But elephant, he could not escape. Gajendra could not escape. It was at that time, others were there, all his associates, the elephant's associates. And because he was the head of the whole group of elephants, there were so many female elephants, and there were many other powerful male elephants also, they also came to help. But they tried to help a lot. They also couldn't help. They also couldn't help. Still, he could not come out from there. So, one after the other, they all started leaving him. They all started leaving him. At that time, Gajendra started rethinking. That false ego, you can see, inch by inch by inch, Krishna is scraping it off. The ego was so strong inside, Krishna thought that, let it take 1,000 years, doesn't matter. Inch by inch, let me break it, cut it off. So when it was all cut and came to the last point where everybody has left, there was none left there to help because others said we can't help him anyway. We also do the same thing, isn't it? We will, when we will, initially when somebody comes to asking for some help, we will say, yes, 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 I'll help you, I'll help you. But after some time you realize I can't help him. He is suffering, what can you do? At that time you also go, that is the nature of this world. So the same thing happened to Gajendra also. Everybody left and Gajendra started thinking, where was I who thought about myself, I was so strong. And by now, by Krishna's mercy, that false ego inside Gajendra was completely burned, which started as a small spark, it burned down the whole false ego inside, and with the result of that, what has happened was that he realized that Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that the last thoughts came to him that in his previous life I was Indradyumna in my previous life, and in that previous life I had the opportunity to serve Krishna, and that stotram or the song what he sang to glorify Krishna in his previous lifetime, that remembrance of that stotram or glorification came to Indradyumna in this Gajendra form, in the elephant form. That is why that prayer of Gajendra is so important in the Bhagavatam. That it is not from one lifetime,
How could Gajendra speak anything, any words? How could he speak? But who compiled all those verses? In the previous life as Indradyumna, he used to sing that glorifications to glorify Krishna. That came back to him. Exactly like, if you remember, all these great devotees, they will vouch for this in their life. How in their previous life supported them in their realization on their next life. In their next life. Where else do you see this in the Bhagavatam? If you remember, Jatabharata said the same thing, isn't it? To whom? To King Rahugana. What did he say? He said, Krishna Archana Prabhavono Jahadi. That, my dear King Rahugana, I came to this state not because I've done something here. Fantastic. I didn't do much. Everything was done in the previous life. Why? I performed Krishna Archana. I served Krishna. Krishna Archana Prabhavo no Jahadi. That Prabhavam of that. Prabhava means that potency or the result of that actions, what I did in the king body of Bharata. Bharata, the king Bharata, Bharata Yogeshwara. And later on in the form of the deer. The only meditation was how to get out from that. And now in this Brahmana's body as Jatabharata, when he met Rahugana, Rahugana asked this question to him, isn't it? You must study those verses in the Bhagavatam. It is one of the most enlightening verses in the Bhagavatam, as well as the Jatabharata's realizations in the fifth canto. So Jatabharata says to Rahugana, this did not happen today or in this lifetime. It didn't happen because Rahugana was a intelligent king. Sindhu Sauviram, where he ruled, and he was looking for a spiritual master. But his problem was, he had this intense false ego inside. He has studied Shastram very well, very learned in Shastram, but Dehabhimanam, a strong identity with the body. And therefore, Jatabharata decided to speak to him and wanted to make him aware that you have studied all the Shastram. Plus, he has executed plenty of sadhana also, our Rahugana. But still he's not getting it. He's not getting the goal, reaching the goal. And that is why when he met Jatabharata spoke to him certain things completely to make him understand that it's not by your effort that it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's why he says there, Krishna Archana Prabhavo no Jahadi. That Krishna Archana Prabhavam. That I served Krishna in two lifetimes, Rahugana, before. And that has followed me now. And that is why I am today like this, he says. Why? In that realized state, Rahugana, where initially he tortured him, isn't it? Sitting in the palanquin thinking that, who is this fool not listening to me? I am the king. This, that and the other, all these big, big thoughts in his head. But eventually when he looked at him, some of the things what he spoke at that time, because he was intelligent, immediately his mind started working. An ordinary person can't speak like this. He was going to Kavila Maharshi's ashram to meet Kavila Maharshi and to take spiritual instructions from him. So he started thinking, is this Kavila Maharshi walking around in this disguise, in this form, wearing a dhoti which was completely dirty. Completely dirty. And when we look at his face, full of Brahmadejasa, that the Brahman effulgence inside. And a dirty sacred thread. From there he understood he is a Brahmana, that there was a sacred thread. But no chanting Gayatri, nothing. That's all been finished long ago, Gayatri business. All that's over. Because after realization, what Gayatri for him? So you can see there that the King Rahugana, who has studied Shastram, who has performed sufficient sadhana, still feeling, I'm not getting it. Here, Jatabharata, no sadhana, no shastram, nothing to study. Why? All the shastram has already come to realize it. So where is the need to study shastram anymore? Aham buro Bharado nama raja. In my previous life, I was a king, he says, Bharata. And when Bharata was an emperor, at that time, this Rahugana's dynasty was a subservient king to Bharata. Can you imagine that? This time, Rahugana is asking him to carry the palanquin for him. And in the previous life, he says, Aham Pura Bharado Nama Raja. Rahugana knows that there was a king by name Bharada. And Bharada Chakravarti was emperor, wasn't it? Eldest son of Krishabadev. And whose name? Bharadavarsham, the name has come. The planet got the name as Bharadavarsham. So you can see that Rahugana's ego had to go. That was the only problem Rahugana had. Rahugana got all what otherwise all qualifications he had, but this ego won't go. So there it has to be instructed, and it came through Jatabharata. So Jatabharata instructs Rahugana in the Srimad Bhagavatam about this issue, that Krishnarchana Prabhavo no Jahadi, that Krishnarchana Prabhavam was spoken like that. So similarly, here also in the Gajendra's case, you can see that our false ego takes different forms at all times, isn't it? At all times it takes different forms. But it is very difficult for us to accept it, that our capacity, our ability or capabilities are very, very, very limited. Practically it doesn't exist. But we have put more faith in that. Just like I mentioned one incident before, that there was a doctor and a family, the head of a family got sick. So the wife and children took the patient to the doctor, and they were requesting that the patient was going to die. At that time, they asked the doctor to help somehow. Doctor, after a thorough scrutiny and diagnosis, decided that a certain operation, if conducted, can save this patient. So he promised this family that tomorrow he will conduct the operation himself, personally, and that will sort out all the problems. He said like that to the family members. So the family felt satisfied. They went home. Unfortunately, that very night, the doctor died. He couldn't perform the operation next day. So situations like this happen in life to prove to us protection is not from our strength. Our strength, it cannot happen. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, again this point is what Krishna wants to bring it point to us, to tell us this. If you remember, Vedavyas Maharshi also said the same thing. Uttaradevi, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into, you will see there, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, Deva Deva Jagalpade, Nanyantvad Abhayam Pashel, Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. We say that Kunti Devi and Uttara Devi, they are the most two intelligent persons in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course the gopis later. Why Kunti Devi and Uttara Devi so intelligent? Because look at their understanding, the depth of understanding of Krishna consciousness. Kunti Devi is saying to Krishna, give me distress all the time so that this ego inside me will go one day and I will properly surrender to you. That was Kunti Devi's prayers to Krishna, isn't it? Uttara Devi is saying in another way the same thing. What did Uttara Devi say to Krishna? When Parikshit was under attack by the Brahmastram from Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama's Brahmastram has gone in and was burning the baby inside. All the Pandavas were standing there. Yudhishthira Maharaj was there. Bhima was there, Nagula was there, Sahadeva was there, Arjuna was there. And Uttara Devi did not even look at any one of them. She did not even look at one of them. They were all very powerful personalities, weren't they? They were all very personal personalities. On the other hand, what did she do? He ran straight to Krishna and says to Krishna, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. Yogeshwareshwara, addressing Krishna, Mahayogin. That means Yogeshwara of all the yogis. Ishwara of all the yogis. Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. Deva Deva Jagalpade. Nanyam Tvad Abhayam Pashet. Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. There is no other place I can take shelter. Nanyam Tvad Abhayam. There is no shelter anywhere else. Krishna says, why not? All your such powerful personalities are there. the five brothers, very well known, Pandavas, isn't it? Very strong personalities. Why not take their shelter? Yatra mrityu parasparam, he says there, that if you look at them, you can see, as much as Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira Maharaj is being subjected to death, so is all the other brothers as well. They are all also under the same danger as I am now. They are also subjected to death. Where is the question of them able to protect me? This was Uttara's answer to, Uttaradevi's answer to Krishna. So from there you can see that that this when Uttaradevi went and fell at Krishna's lotus feet, that Sudeva Goswami says there that at least in this one issue, Uttaradevi was more intelligent than anyone else. That there is absolutely no use when death is standing right in front of you. Death is standing there, right in front of you. Take you away from this world. If you are simply thinking, taking shelter of somebody else in this world, there is no use at all. Can anybody tell us that I'm going to protect you when you are dying? Can anyone make any promise like that? It is not possible. It is not possible. Therefore, there is no use at all to think that somebody else is going to protect us at the time of death. Not only at the time of death, in all crises in this life. So, because of the false ego, we have this faith in the society, in the community, in the friends, in the society. Therefore, particularly this applies to householder. Because householder feels more secure than others, isn't it? In this world, he has got his house, all mortgage paid. And children all got through exams, studies, jobs, everything. Now I'm retired and family life is going on still. So you feel a kind of false security there. Krishna says there, Kudumbeshana sajjeda na pramade ahevi. Then, vibhaschil nashwaram pashel adrishtam abhidrishtavan. In Ekadasya Skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava, Kudumbeshu na sajjeda na pramadyeda karhichel. That never ever in household life take shelter of the family. Think that family will protect. Kudumbeshu na sajjeda. Sajjeda means not even to the very minimum keep any attachment anywhere in there. Think, because that attachment will falsely create a false security inside, thinking that they will protect, they will give the shelter. Kudumbeshu na sajjeda na pramadyeda. Pramadam, what is pramadam means? Pramadam means this false understanding in the head that they are going to protect us. They are going to protect us. Kudumbeshu na sajjeda na pramadyeda. And vibhaschil, what one should see? Vibhaschil nashwaram pashyed. That all this is temporary. That firm realization inside, this is temporary, this is temporary. Wife is temporary, husband is temporary, children are temporary, house is temporary, job is temporary, pension is temporary, body is temporary, everything is temporary, it will go. It will go. Vipaschil nasharyam pashil. And what else? Adrishtam avi drishtavad. We do not see that adrishtam, thinking that somewhere else there is some happiness inside. Remember that Krishna says that is also in the same status, in the same stage. That also has no reality. There is no reality in any of these things, either in the family or in the house or in the life after death in another planet, enjoying life somewhere else. All this is, Krishna says, Kudumbeshu na sajjeda na pramadyeda kahichil avivashchil nashwaram pashel adrishtam abhidrishtavad. That constantly one should keep on reminding oneself about this. And there are many more verses after that in the Bhagavatam, worthwhile reading. And to remind, whenever one is feeling that need to think, oh, I got this problem, I got that problem, immediately you should take Srimad Bhagavatam and read those verses. But just reading won't help. You have to accept it, what Krishna is saying. If you are not accepting it, constantly thinking that, Krishna can say all these things, but it's me who is suffering now. If you start that music, then it won't work. That you have to know. What Krishna says, you have to accept it. Krishna is telling us, Kudumbeshu na sajjeda na pramadyeda karhichil. Then otherwise, what will happen? Krishna says later on in those verses, if you look, you will see what will happen at that stage. That life after life, he has to go through this suffering again and again. So, vipaschil nashwaram paschil adrishtam abhidrishtavan. So, having spoken all these things, here, important thing why we are talking about all these things now, right now, in this Bhagavad Gita chapter is, in order that meditation to happen, even if you physically try a lot, it may not happen. Physically, you cannot make it. Because when you are saying that, I'm going to meditate, it's also coming from the false ego. It's also coming from the false ego. So, with that false ego behind, Krishna is saying meditation is not possible. Once it so happened, a mother who lost her husband, at an early age. Probably she was in the middle of 30, middle-aged lady. She lost her husband, came from a fairly good family, in the sense that had good spiritual training in the early life and lived a proper householder life with the husband. But somehow the other distress came like this. She lost her husband, and by then she got... What distress brings is vairagyam in life, isn't it? Vairagyam comes from distress. She felt the need to leave home. She had no interest because in them days it was very difficult. In them days it was very difficult for women when the husband is dead and they had to stay home. So naturally they will go to places, some holy places or some ashrams where they will spend the rest of their life. So in that situation, she has studied Shastram very well. All Yoga Vasishtam and Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana, Mahabharatam, she has read all that, understood everything very well. Had a good sound knowledge of the Shastram very well. She has understood everything. Added to that, she has also executed enough sadhana in her life. Very fixed up she was, getting up very early in the morning and doing limited service, what she has to do in the ashram. She did that, and remaining time she absorbed in various spiritual discussions or absorbed in that. Even after doing this for a long period of time, she felt one day that she is not getting anywhere spiritually. She's not getting anywhere spiritually. You see how intelligent people are. Some of them had that realization that most of us are satisfied with when we get little things in life, isn't it? Oh, if you have succeeded in chanting 16 rounds for 1 month, we will celebrate, the whole world will know that I have done this. This is what we are like. It should be in all the websites. It should be there. So, so at one point in time in her life, when she realized that it's not happening, still she's not getting what she is looking for, realization hasn't come to her. So she goes to this Mahatma and speaks to him about that. You should have seen the answer he gave to her. He says to her, you have done all the sadhana very good. You have done very well. You have done all the sadhana what you can do. You have done all the sadhana what you have to do. You have studied all the shastram what you have to study. You have learned everything what is in the books. You understood also. But there is one thing that is missing. You have not had experienced enough distress yet in life. Because he mentions to her that pakvada or maturity in life will only happen when that distress hits you properly. Up to that time you won't wake up. You will study shastram, you will lecture a lot about it to others. Lecture you can do a lot, But the end, in order that to click, that to happen, the answer was given like this, that Shastram can't give you, sadhana can't give you what you are looking for. The answer to that is, Krishna says there, that the buddhi or mind, intelligence, and that Sharanagati has to happen. Sharanagati happens when distress comes in life. When distress comes in life. Otherwise it won't happen. That is why if you study all these great devotees' life, if you go back to them and start reading through, you will see what life they led through. What they had to led through. All the great devotees. You will observe the same thing. That is their history. That is their history. It is from that distress they have learned something. What is that? That this false ego is the one where they have to keep their attention on. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, now, we were discussing this verse last Sunday. In the 17th verse, we saw that Yuktahara Viharasya, we discussed that verse, isn't it? Yuktaharam Viharasya Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu Yukta Swapnava Bhodasya Yogo Bhavadi Dukaha. After that verse, this another important verse Krishna talked about. Yada Viniyatam Chittam. Atmanyevavatishtate Nispriha Sarvakamebhyo Yukta ityuchyate etadam Yada viniyadam chittam Atmanyevavatishtate Nispriha Sarvakamebhyo Yukta ityuchyate etadam. Translation. When the yogi, by practice of yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to have attained yoga. Yada viniyadam chittam atmanyevava tishtate nispriha sarvakamebhyo yukta iti uchyate tada. So, Krishna says here that yada viniyadam chittam, when this stage comes, when meditation captures us, at that point, that chittavritti stops. Yada viniyade chittam. Chittavritti comes to a dead stop. And then what else will happen? Krishna says here, yada viniyade chittam. Yada viniyade chittam atmanyevava tishtade. So this transfer that takes place from the position of chittam, chittavritti, to alma. Chittavritti to alma. Here you have to understand when Krishna says atmanyevava tishtade, for a jnani it is the soul. For a devotee it is Krishna, which is the same. No difference at all. Atmanyevava tishtade, situated in the transcendental position. Completely surrendered to the truth. Jnani surrenders to the truth as Atma. Devotee surrenders to the truth as Krishna. That's the only difference. But Atma, it is the soul. The word used is Atma. Atmanyevava tishtate. His surrender is there to the Atma. And Atmanyevava tishtate. Atmanyevava tishtate. Nispruha sarva kamebhyo. By now, all desires have gone from inside. That is the proof of that. That Atmanyevava tishtade, how do you know one is Atmanyevava tishtade? Nispruha sarva kamebhyo. Sarva kamebhyo nispruha. Nispruha, there is no spruha anymore. Nispruha means all kinds of desires have gone from inside. Sarva kamebhyo and yukta ityuchyate tada. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, Krishna says it in a different way. Akinjanasya dandasya shandasya samachedasaha. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Megavasya Skandam, Krishna says this. Aginjanasya dandasya shandasya samachedasa sada forget it akinchanasya dandasya akinchanasya. Krishna says akinchanasya. Akinchanasya means he has no more, he's completely exhausted in this world, completely exhausted in this world. Shandasya, shandasya, completely at the same time totally in peace within himself. Samachedasaha, that samachedasa, samachedasa means completely equally seeing Krishna's presence in everyone. That stage has happened to him. When we discuss in the Krishna's pastimes later in the 10th canto, Krishna explains through different pastimes how this samachedasa happens. Equal vision to all living entities. Equal vision to all living entities. Akinjanasya dandasya shandasya samajedasa sada sandushta hridayaha. And always peaceful within oneself. Always peaceful within oneself. That, so this state, Krishna calls it as yogasthiti. And then he says, nirabeksham munim shandam nurvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyangrirenubhi. Krishna says, nirabeksham munim shandam, that muni who is nirabeksham, who has no desires inside. Krishna says here, nispriha sarvakamebhyo. So that stage has to happen. When will that happen? When we get that lots of distress in life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. We are thinking that I'll have a good job, good life, and my 16 rounds I'll get back there, isn't it? So it is not so straightforward, that answer. The answer is this. Shastram is pointing out to us certain things. That when one gets that ahankaram or false ego inside, that is controlling everything, including the sadhana at the moment, that ahankaram has to go from inside. And in that process of, when that is not accepted, we think that we still have the capacity to change this world, control this world, keep the show going. All this is nothing but a reflection of that false ego coming in different forms. In different forms. So you can see pure bhakti, what Krishna refers to in the Bhagavadam, is nothing but is freedom from false ego. Freedom from false ego. That is why Krishna keeps repeating this, that Dhyana Yogam comes to perfection when one is free from all desires. Nispriha sarvakamebhyo yoga ityuchade tada. That he is in the yoga state. And that yoga state comes through Dhyanam. And when will that Dhyanam happen? That Dhyanam will happen when at some point in time, when the false ego starts melting inside. At the moment, it's like a mountain standing inside. It's like it becomes a big mountain. So it's the spits of the mountain, isn't it? The very, and it is there in everybody. Nobody can say that. I can say with the lips that I don't have any view. I'm very humble, but that's not going to work. But the fact that kartrutva, bhoktrutvam is there, ragadvesham is there, the fact that a lot of faith and trust in our own capacity is the proof that the false ego is there. False ego is there, the proof of that is kartrutva bhoktrutva. The proof of kartrutva bhoktrutva is ragadvesham in this world. Can any one of us say that I am acting in this world without ragadvesham? I don't think so. I can't say it. Therefore, I can say that I don't know about others, but the fact is, ragadvesham is a proof of kartrutva bhoktrutva. Kartrutva bhoktrutva is a proof of the false ego inside. You see, proof of false ego inside. In simple terms, in Bhagavad Gita's philosophy, only we have to understand that Krishna is pointing out that when these things have not gone, whatever you may do at the end, sadhana and all comes secondary after that. Sadhana is necessary, it's not that sadhana is rejected. It's only after all these things have happened, finally comes sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. What do? We learn that verse first. And we tell everybody else, why don't you surrender to Krishna? We ask that, isn't it? And we tell them, look, this is the verse, 1866. I'll tell you the number if you don't know it. You know the verse, you know the chapter, and you know the verse number also. It stays there in that way. But prior to getting there, we have to go through Gajendra Moksham. We have to go through the experience of Uttara.
We have to experience what Kunti Devi experienced, and it's a long haul. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss next Sunday.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.